This is the Disaster Recovery Hour. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Hey, good afternoon. Disaster Recovery Hour every Tuesday between 1 and 2 p.m. here at WVNJ 1160. Broadcasted right out of here in Teaneck with the tower out there in Oakland. We shoot out to Bergen County, Rockland County, Westchester, some of the outer boroughs, all out to the island. Got a nice growing listenership. Comments page, which is drhradio.net. That's where you want to comment, hence comment page. And for our guests and for me and things intel we can get out there and information. So that's what that's for. So again, it's drhradio.net. I'm trying to get I got so much work going on right now, so I'm trying to scale myself back and jump into radio land and Radiohead and radio mode. So bear with me if I'm a little jumping all over the place. But we definitely have some time to say congratulations to the Giants. I'm a Giant fan. I'm a big Giant fan. And I was invited to go down to the parade, but I got an obligation. That's to the show, and that's to you guys. How about that? Is that a nice plug? What do you think? Patting you guys on the back? Cool. So they're ranting and raving over there in New York, and then they'll be coming over here into the Jersey at the Meadowlands. We'll call it Giant Stadium, not MetLife. We'll keep it with keep it to what it should be called. So that was a great weekend. If you guys want to comment on the Giant game, I'll take those comments. I know it's not a disaster; it's a disaster for New England. Thank goodness. And a little stressful, that game, a little stressful. Anybody who follows the Giants, they know how to make you lose hair. And if you've seen my picture on the website, you'll see that I've stressed out many years over the Giants. So, hence the lack of follicly challenged. There was a couple of questions that I did not get to last week. We got a little jammed up as we started off kind of, like most shows, you know, you gotta get that feel going, and including myself, because my first 10 minutes that are always by myself, you know, even gets me. I gotta get start moving, you know, get the gas in the tank, and you know, get in the first gear, second gear, third gear, and so on and so forth. My voice might go a mile a minute, but my thoughts are just, you know, I gotta tweak them, get them, make it a little comprehensive. So, I'll give you a little personal background for myself. But I want to say thanks to Arthur Fuller from last week. He is the president of the Metro ACP down in D.C. What we talked about is the communication line and systems, and he does also the disaster recovery for and setting plans in place and also in print. And you know, it's amazing because just when I think about it, after one of my shows, I'll say, like, you know what, we got to get a different spin going on with the DR. You know, what are we not covering? And I think we cover a lot, and I think there's still a lot more to be covered, a lot more actually. And because you just think about this past weekend, and I was reading an article about a municipality like 60,000 people. I'm not going to name it. That's not important. But what's important is, you know, 60,000 residents in a town that really had a really minor incident that made the town go berserk and haywire, and there was a lot of miscommunication. And, you know, so that just kind of reestablishes the fact that it is a never-ending battle. And my guest today is going to be talking about that. He's an OEM director out in Nassau County, out in the island. But and if he's not available, he is on an important meeting. His Rachel Wolf will be stepping in for him, who's just as capable. But with that, you know, just reading that article, I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, you know, you guys aren't communicating within your own municipality and 60,000 people, your residents. It's just, it's mind-boggling. Again, you know, it's not a pointing of the finger. You know, that's what the show is about. You know, we're here, my guests, myself, my experiences, my guests' experiences. We're here to, you know, describe a situation or a scenario, possible scenarios, and talk about real-life incidences that have occurred and, you know, the mistakes that were made and the mistakes that projected over into the positive of a learning experience. So nobody lost their lives in this article that I was reading, but it really kind of spun around to me, and I'm like, you know what, you know, the show's got a lot more to say, and it is repetitive in some areas. I do say, you know, throughout the week about checking your insurance policies, and also, you know, you see something, say something. You know, big billboards here in the city, out in the island, in Jersey. You know, the biggest disaster is not having a plan for your family, you know, and you get the nice little picture of the family, and it's true, you know. Let's talk about this winter months, because the weather has been, you know, global warming. Oh, I didn't mean to say that, but, you know, it's been very warm, and with that, there's not the risk of overloading outlets with space heaters because the weather hasn't been cold, and the pipes are not freezing this time of year. You know, pipes freeze, and, you know, lots of flooding. And so it could be, you know, it's a good time for you guys as Harry homeowners and even businesses to take a look at your disaster plan. You know, a home has a disaster plan in a roundabout way. You might not classify it as a disaster, but it's something you should take you can be outside, you can have a meeting point. And again, these are the things I constantly talk about, and I have the first responders to prove it. These guys come on and they talk about it, and they want me to tell you out there that they don't want to come home to a tragedy. You know, when a flood happens and you're not home for a couple hours and damage occurs, could it have been avoided? Sometimes not. You know, it could be a maintenance issue, but, you know, sometimes things just fail. And, but, you know, also with the fires, you know, these guys don't want to see any life. It's life and safety is for these guys, you know. Things are things. Sometimes they have a sentimental value and dollar values. Hence, if it's dollar values, hopefully it's insured properly. So, remember, always talk to your insurance agent or your broker. More plugs for your, you know, it is premium raising, but you'd rather have something covered than not. So these guys, they don't want to come save somebody's life. They really don't. I don't know everybody's state of mind, but I'm pretty sure that the guys would rather just put the fire out and make sure that everybody's safe, and that's number one, driving force for those guys. I'm not on the back of the trucks. I'm not in an ambulance. I'm only the second guy to show up on the scene after an incident. You know, and I'm on the private side, but thank God that our country is. Still has that John Wayne mentality of volunteering and doing the right thing. I mean, there's a lot of boneheads and knuckleheads out there. We all understand that. There's always bad apples in the bunch. But overall, there's a lot of volunteers in this country, and that assist. Like, you know, you give at the island, all our counties. You know, they're predominantly volunteer guys. Whether that's certs and firemen and the ambulance corps and things like that. No, let's go. We won't take a break quite yet. I'm going to tell Dave to take that finger and do something else with it right now. But, hey, none of that. So with Arthur from last week, got some other stuff going on with some magazines. I'm hoping that some good things happen with that, and I can bring that out into the public eye pretty soon. One of the things I was reading this past couple days ago was regarding the volunteerism. You know, now people are more stressed job-wise, and a lot of the volunteers that used to work for the local departments in our total, you know, 60-mile radius, the volunteers are no longer working within the town borders, you know, so there are less guys to respond at a 12 o'clock in the afternoon fire. And so one of the towns here in Bergen County was putting on the ballot, I guess, if you will. I don't know the political terms for it, but thinking about bringing in a couple paid guys. And in the long run, it's a savings. So and it's a shame because I know a lot of people would like to give their time, but you know their jobs. There's no 9-to-5 jobs anymore. Stuff doesn't exist. And if you got one, you know, lucky stars. You know, you should count your blessings on that. That's for sure, because they don't exist anymore. So that's an interesting. Interesting idea, and I like to see it come to fruition. You know, again, you know, there's a lot of older people in our area, and not many people swing by and knock on their door to see they're doing. So that's one of those things about that community, not policing, but community service type, where, you know, you have an elderly person living next door to you or a couple blocks away or whatever, you know. You get the feel of your neighborhood. And, you know, I'm on a PSA thing, so let me continue with this. So, you know, check on them. Because God forbid, you know, they can get to, as they get older, they start to hoard a little bit, a little too much plastic. You know, it could be by a space heater, could be by even by the furnace. This past week I got that, you know, somebody put too much stuff by the furnace, so caused fire, but whatever. Let's go to the break, and we'll pick up our first guest.
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York metro and tri-state area.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated, a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
In the early hours after the tsunami, it was ham radio that was on the air, saving lives. When Florida was ripped by hurricanes, the hams were there. In the critical moments after the attack of 9/11, it was the hams who coordinated emergency messages. When disasters strike, the hams are ready. Ham radio works when other communications don't. To learn how you can become a ham radio operator, call the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, at 1-800-326-3942.
Welcome back, Disaster Recovery Hour. Every Tuesday between 1 and 2 p.m. WVNJ 1160 here in Jersey. Shooting out there all the way out to the island, up in parts of Connecticut also, and many other counties in our area. I was going to have Greg J. Kraft, who's the commissioner of the OEM for the county of Nassau out there on the island. Unfortunately, they had an emergency meeting that he had to go to, but I have somebody who can do just as well as he can, Rachel Wolf. Rachel, you there?
Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good. Craig is so sorry that he couldn't get on the line, but I'm happy that I can be here in his place.
No. It's. I mean, you're right there in the thick of things. You're a boots on the ground, as we say here at the show, and I'm sure you say the same phrase. But primarily, why don't we do, since we're kind of working on the fly, even though we've spoken before, what's your title with the county?
My title is Community Services Representative, and I manage, quite a number of different projects at the same time. I do all of our special event planning. I oversee our sheltering planning and operations. And really, I get quite involved in the community outreach and education. So at this point in time, especially we're getting through the winter, we're soon going to be entering back into hurricane season.
Right.
We like to go out. We actually go to community centers, and we give presentations on emergency preparedness. And we do all kinds of other, other forms of getting the word out there as well. We focus those kind of efforts during hurricane season because everybody's more willing to go out when the weather is nice.
Right.
But really the preparedness that's taught and preached for hurricanes is true for most emergencies.
Right. Nassau's got, what's the population in Nassau County?
Just over 1.3 million.
Right, 1.3, and I said that to Craig yesterday, because, Bergen, where I'm at, I'm just a little under a million. You got Rockland. Rockland's kind of small. Westchester's got a lot. And the demographics, but the typography, if you will, of our area is kind of is different. So, with Nassau, and I was talking with Andy Weitzberg, who's the president of the ACP out there, which I know you're familiar with. The island's a lot different than the outer boroughs and up here in parts of Connecticut and Rockland and Westchester and even Jersey. And so your planning and your drilling, and that's what I wanted to talk about today. Well, I want to talk about a lot of things, including the Giants winning the Super Bowl. But one of the things that I wanted to talk about was not challenges, but the things that you guys are focusing on in your county, because you got the other counties out there that you have to work alongside with. So with 1.3 million people, you have, it's not a very hilly area, so you have flooding you're more susceptible to flooding, so you have evacuation routes. What are the things that are consistent and then also what can you tweak with it, your plans with Joe Public?
Right. And definitely flooding is one of them, as you pointed out. And because we have so many trees here and our power lines are above ground, power outages are something that we contend with on an ongoing basis. Thankfully, they're usually not for too long, but it is a reality here. And something also that many people don't always consider is that, we share a border with New York City. So all of the hazards that they face affect our region just as much.
Right. I mean, when you and I spoke before, and a buddy of mine from who's retired now off the law enforcement and state police, natural disasters, we have them every once in a while, but we're obviously more prone because of 9/11. We live in a very dangerous area, heavily populated, bridges and tunnels and things like that. And what am I going to talk about, doom and gloom right now, but the challenges of a department that you work with OEM, you're not just responding to the natural disasters, but you're also contending with the human aspect, the human asset, if you will.
Yes. And our biggest challenge here, playing into that, honestly, is the sheer fact that we're an island. You have to pass through New York City to get here, but once you get here, You can't get onto the general land without going over a bridge. So that's a very big concern for us, not just in terms of either getting people off of the island, but also after a disaster, getting resources back in.
Right. And that's what I experienced in Florida when I worked those hurricanes in 2005. It was there was a lot of people to help out. Private and public, but the materials were slow to get there, so you had the frustration building and things like that. So, and these are obviously, I've had another OEM director from the township of Islip, ex-captain out of the FDNY, and one of the things we talked about was that supply chain. One way in, one way out, right?
Yes, exactly. And we were fortunate, you know, with Irene, where it was projected to have a direct hit right in our county, and therefore a lot of resources were brought in that we were eventually turning away. But it is an all hands on deck. I mean, no matter what the situation is, the government, the county, we can't do it on our own. We need to work with our partners, both on the private side, nonprofit organizations that we have great relationships with, and MOUs. Mm-hmm. And of course, needless to say, the general public as well, because if the individual constituent is not prepared, then it's really hard to get them all of the things that they would need, whether they have to leave home or whether they have to stay in place for a long period of time. You know, we're so dependent on medications.
Right.
A lot of people have special dietary restrictions. So even just by, you know, if you come to a shelter, there's not really even a guarantee that you'll have everything that you need right there.
Yeah, so getting that information out to, and we have an aging population, especially in our area, and we have more assisted living facilities, that poses challenges also.
Yes. Absolutely. And as you know, we work very closely, this office, with our county Department of Health and the State Department of Health as well. They really did a phenomenal job leading up to and in the aftermath of Irene. They evacuated one hospital and several nursing homes. And, you know, I can honestly tell you that that's a really difficult situation. Mm-hmm. I mean, any time it was discussed previous to Irene, it was always discussed in the most gravest of terms that there would be casualties, and thank God we did not have any.
Right. You know, it's one of the things, if hopefully some of my listeners, if you do have parents, elderly parents, and you think about that, you know, I know you're going to go to a facility and say, my mom has this is her medication. Obviously, there's always a big play of it is of dollars of paying for it. But maybe one of the questions they should, not maybe, but a question they should say is, do you have a disaster plan? I know they do, but it's as a person who's going to put another into a facility like that, they should have that part of their questionnaire.
I definitely think so. You can't be too careful, and especially in our region, a lot of those facilities are located on the South Shore. Many of them are in the storm surge zone, so it's a very real conversation that needs to be had.
And so, are those types of facilities, are those planned meetings? Do you bring these people in and say, you know, what do you have? Because when I was talking with the chief from FDNY, excuse me, about a month and change ago, they had a conference up in Mount Sinai about the aging hospitals in the city. Mm-hmm. And what were their disaster plans and what they had found, and I'm not casting aspersions here, just that there was a few of these facilities, you know, where there's X amount of beds, 300, 400, 500 bed hospitals that really don't have a plan as much as they just count on the building engineer to do what he's got to do. And they kind of took it as in like, listen, this is my building, FDNY, you're encroaching on my mm-hmm. My turf. So you kind of have a turf war. But with that, with the challenges for you and say, you know, say a nursing facility in your department at OEM, are you meeting these people? You're telling them, listen, you got to come in. We need to know what you're doing out there.
Yeah, you know, on an ongoing basis, we're hosting trainings. We host a lot of meetings as well, and we include the hospitals quite a lot. We have 12 hospitals in this county. In terms of the nursing homes, I mean, and in general, that's all being done in conjunction with our Department of Health.
Mm-hmm.
But the nursing homes, because we have so many more of those, that's really left up to the Department of Health, and then they know to call OEM should they have any type of situation, because we do have certain resources that we can deploy to them in the event of an emergency, whether it's an isolated incident or a large-scale disaster. So they're very well versed in that. But those facilities, both hospitals and nursing homes, are regulated by State Department of Health, and the state requires them to submit their plans. I'm not certain how often they get reviewed or updated, but it is regulated on the state level.
If you just joined us at the Disaster Recovery Hour, WVNJ 1160, every Tuesday between 1 and 2, my guest today is Rachel Wolf. She is stepping in if you will, for a commissioner of OEM out there in Nassau County. And Rachel is the managing of sheltering plans and community outreach and education and special events planning on the OEM department side, which, you know, it must be rewarding. And we're going to go to a break in a few minutes, but it must be rewarding to, you know, see the look in an eye of somebody's eye and say, listen, this is what we've been doing and this is why we can help you out. Because you, as well as I, know that, you know, you're the first responder. I come in after you guys leave, and I'm there to do work. I'm a business person, you know. But to see somebody who was prepared because they've been to your training classes, and it's very refreshing.
Absolutely. And we're an agency. Unless you're a first responder or someone who's doing business with us and on an ongoing basis, you don't always think about the work that's going on behind the scenes. But I can tell you that when something is going on in the public's eye, this phone rings, and they're very relieved to get people on the phone who have the answers.
Yeah, let's go to a break, and we'll talk about some of those scenarios, if you don't mind, and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need answers. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP is the answer. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP is a full-service emergency services and restoration company. With 25 years of experience in emergency management and restoration, our seasoned team of skilled professionals is ready to assess damages and restore your property to its pre-loss condition.
Who do I call first? What about insurance? Is it safe to stay here? What do I do next?
Fire, smoke, water, or mold, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP restores your property and your peace of mind. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
At 23, Lance Gieselman's back was broken, leaving him paralyzed from the waist down and his left leg amputated.
I enlisted in the United States Army, went to Iraq in 2003.
Lance's tank was completely destroyed when it was hit by an improvised explosive device.
I was a homeless survivor.
Paralyzed Veterans of America is an independent organization dedicated to ensuring our injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned and need. Paralyzed Veterans Senior National Service Officer Anthony Steele.
I'm willing whatever it takes to serve our veterans.
The PVA, from the very beginning of my injury, has always been there for me. If I was having problems with the VA, they were always there.
Continued medical care and services for the lives and perils. If you would like to help us, visit pva.org. A purpose message from Paris.
This is the Kevin Trudeau Show.
Hi, this is Kevin Trudeau. Join me for the Kevin Trudeau Radio Show. Everything they don't want you to know about. Here on WVA 1168, we're taking the gloves off, sharing
online at ktradionetwork.com.
Weekdays at noon on WVNJ.
Every Tuesday between 1 p.m. WVNJ 1160. That is not Rachel. That is Raquel. That is Raquel Wolf, and I knew I was going to do that. She's, you know, I just texted you back. I apologize about that.
No need to apologize. Thanks, Chris.
So we wanted to talk about, a generic scenario, if you will, to try to get, role playing, it's not really playing. There's nothing playing about OEM and first responders and training and drilling and such. But some of the things that you try to get out there with Irene prior, she's so fresh in our minds, and there's still stuff in the paper, especially here on the Jersey side, because we really got whacked a lot worse than you guys did. Some of the things that you guys kind of collaborate with other industry, and with that, an aside, are you bringing in public, private industry to assist you in those things?
We are. As I said, you know, we do a lot of interfacing with agencies, and you know, something that we talked about earlier in the program is that, you know, we do share a border with New York City. We're sandwiched between there and Suffolk County, so you know, we recognize fully that we're not in this alone. You know, we're in constant communication with our neighbors, and that was something that was very strong, you know, during Irene as well. But to that end, I will say that there were many operations had we not had the public-private initiative that we did. One of the things that happened very last minute as we were getting ready to open our shelters, so this was obviously before landfall, thanks to the Red Cross, we actually had a big delivery of water from Coca-Cola, and we got a call saying it's coming to the OEM warehouse. And we said, okay, and then it was kind of like, well, how are we going to redistribute this?
Right.
You know, we opened, just in this county, 21 emergency shelters, and that was general population. On top of that, you had pet shelters, you had special needs shelters. So it was quite a large operation that was going on. And simply because we had been conversing with Home Depot on a few other matters, we just called them up, even though this is outside of their normal operation, and we said, hey, we've got this problem. Can you help us? And they did. They sent trucks, and they delivered all of the water for us to our shelters.
Yeah, you know, and you know what? It's a good feeling. I'm sure the depots, you know, they want to do the right thing by their fellow citizens, and you know, and that's responsible. And I, you know, years gone by, you know, big business always gets punched in the face about not assisting. They're all about driven by profits. Yeah, listen, I get it. You know, especially we're in the financial capital of the world. You know, we all have 401s or whatever, stocks and stuff like that. So, to have somebody step up like that. But yeah, like you said, okay, I got the supplies. How the heck am I going to get out of here?
Right.
How am I going to distribute it? So those, now, is that something that, I mean, that's part of the role-playing, if you will, distribution of supplies. And because logistics, I don't know the actual number in the military, but I remember it was something like 9 guys behind just to supply 1 guy in the field. It's
wow.
Got to be similar. With you guys, because when people come to, people are very upset during these times. Where is my government? However, they of the citizen to think, like, you know, FEMA and OEM, they're not going to be there then. Something for yourself.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we do, you know, we try to make every effort possible to individual constituent. But times of emergency, to be quite honest with you, Chris, it's a triage. So we have to respond to the hospitals first, if power. We have to respond to the nursing homes. There has to be a government. Because if you have those services, if you have critical infrastructure that's not operating, if your bridges are evaluated, you know, the individual sustain themselves then no matter what.
And it was one of my, I got a question on the comments page for you. Question kind of feeling to listen to Rachel. It's well, not Rachel. Sorry, Lori. I gave out the wrong first name. It's Raquel. And know that there is an organization behind the scenes to help the facilitation of the nursing homes and the hospitals. Yeah. Which I don't think people realize that, you know, it's the big, you know, that old, line in the airplane, the movie, it's like a hospital. What is it? Oh, it's a big white building.
Right.
But there's obviously a lot more to it. But her follow-up is with that, or second part of that question is, I'm wondering if there's anything in place for the homeless. You know, I guess it has to be addressed.
Yeah, and thanks for the positive feedback, Lori, as well. You know, we work very closely with our Department of Housing Department. I can tell you that, you know, again, just because Irene is very familiar in all of our minds, and it was probably the largest scale recent operation that we've been a part of, they were here in our emergency operations center, which is the command center for the county during a disaster. They were with us physically in our shelters, which was, and a side note on that, that actually was not part of the plan. They responded there. They poised themselves. That was done on the request from the county executive and self-initiative as well, and they made themselves available to the public really at a time when they probably would have, when their families probably needed them just as badly.
What is a self-initiative?
Well, as I started to say, the county executive, he made the request to all of his commissioners to either respond to the EOC and then to also respond to shelters, depending on who they were. But many of their deputies and individual county workers took it upon themselves also and found themselves working in these shelters really for the betterment of the community.
Yeah, that's the kind of ink that you don't get. You know, it's the person who was left, you know, in a lifeboat or something. You know, you don't get that, again, that behind the scenes thing. And that's a great thing that Lori, you know, says that's a good feeling to listen to Raquel. as she's got Rachel up there, but you know. I don't know. I'm not saying, you know, it's not all goody two shoes. I understand that, but it is a positive thing that that we're getting this. You know, you're giving me this information. I can get it out there. And again, because the you know, everyone is picking on the failed issues. No one's talking about the good stuff that's happening out there, and that's the preparedness world. You know, some of this, you know, being on the border with the city. And now you flip it on over to the Jersey side, because we're on this side close to the city. One of the things, insurance-wise, you know, because I'm, you know, most of my work is insurance-driven, where somehow or another I'm going to be touched or communicating with somebody who's a head of insurance. How does Nassau County go about insurance? Because, I mean, you can only go so far before there's a liability issue.
Right. I'm not sure I fully understand your question, though I can tell you that... Actually, we had a representative in our EOC during Irene from New York State Insurance Department.
Okay.
And we've hosted events actually with them where they've presented to the business community in our facility.
Mm-hmm.
But if you'd like to further clarify, I'd be happy to address that.
Well, you know, here's an example. I got another question from Dave. We'll get to that in a second. For, you know, the volunteer services, years gone by now, you know, when they come and respond to a fire, they can only do so much, and they, you know, and basically the lights are, you know, Captain Dan was telling me with my Emerson Fire Department is, you know, you got the homeowner sitting on the front lawn because the volunteers can only do so much. They put out, it's life and safety. Is that all set? The power's been cut, so on and so forth. But after that, like the county has a responsibility, but how, but it must be tough to say, listen, I'd like to do something. This is just me not having that information, or if there's an answer to it, mm-hmm. that you're able to go so far and then you have to pull back because of there could be a liability issue. Does that exist at all?
Well, it does exist to an extent, but I think the bigger complication that we have is, again, we have such a large population mm-hmm. here. We have 1.3 million residents. So in the case of entering into somebody's home to fix something or turn something on, you know, what you do for one, you kind of have to do for everyone.
Right.
So that, I think the liability and the reach, the availability, kind of goes oddly hand in hand in terms of limiting.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I get it. My question from Dave, it says, or the question for you, Raquel, is how closely does Nassau County work with neighboring counties, and what kind of information sharing initiatives are there?
We work very closely with them. It's mostly behind the scenes. What is not behind the scenes are trainings and events that we co-host and invite each other to. But you know, one of the very helpful things that's been implemented in the past couple of years is actually called the RELT program. And what that stands for is the Regional Executive Liaison Team. And leading up to disasters or in the aftermath, depending on if we have notice or not, that's actually a conference call that takes place between the commissioners of the OEMs from the various jurisdictions, including, obviously, Nassau County, New York City, Westchester, Suffolk County, New York State. And then we invite others. Others get invited to the call, depending on the situation at hand. I wasn't around during H1N1, but I'm also told that H1N1, there was a separate PIO RELT call that took place. So you had one call for the commissioners, and then you had a separate conference call for all of the jurisdictional PIOs, the public information officers.
Right.
Because during that event, communication was so critical, you know,
yeah,
and that everybody should be on the same page with one another.
Because of panic.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's got to be a challenge.
So we do have that communication. Not only is there communication just for the sake of information sharing and decision making, but also there's a sharing of resources. Last year when the tornadoes touched down in New York City, actually Nassau County was able to, assist New York City through our DPW department. And that's something that was nice for us to have the ability to give back as well.
Yeah, you know, speaking of the DPW departments, and, you know, budgets have been, you know, overtime and budgets of getting rid of debris. You know, we got, you know, we're in this economic stranglehold with the less tax collected and so on. And then you have major storms of this past year, which on record was the most expensive in the history of storm-related issues across this country, and including the world, actually. But then you, and then you're talking about an extra town, and let's say a town of Wantage. How many people in Ronkonkoma, for example?
That's Suffolk. I'm not
sure.
Yeah,
it's Suffolk. Oh, okay. So, but you know, you talk about adding fuel to the fire, about not you know, strangulating again services, and now you need money to pay for those services. We really got whammed this year. But you know, when you talked about you lending services to the city, it reminded me of when exactly when the tornadoes hit. I was dealing with a couple of people. The insurance company called me in to handle, you know, like four or five homes that got trees knocked on them. And the homeowners, they're older, so they had this old world thoughts and process about them. They were going to let those trees sit because, you know what, the city owned those trees, not them. So, you know, so it's, you know, it's that preparedness thing. It's like, listen, we get that. You know, let's work that down the line. We need for you to live in your home. You need to be safe. You know, you got to stop saying, you know, it's not my fault. The fault doesn't lie anywhere. It just doesn't exist anymore. You know, take care of your stuff and worry about it down the road. Or not worry about it, but subrogate if you're going to talk about lawyers and such. So I'm going to go to, I think we break time. I think we're break time. We'll finish up with Miss Raquel Wolf. Thanks.
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York metro and tri-state area.
The American Legion. We're a powerful force for the nation. We're the largest organization of wartime veterans in the nation. We've served America in uniform, and we continue to serve through our membership in the American Legion. We're patriots through and through. We believe in our flag and what it stands for. Our Constitution, our Pledge of Allegiance, our way of life are all fundamental to maintaining our freedom and the standing we have as the greatest country on earth. We promote and defend these values every day in communities across the nation. We're at the forefront to protect our flag from acts of desecration. We have many programs that teach our youth about the rights and responsibilities of citizenship and what a gift it is to be an American. And you can find us marching down main streets in small towns and big cities all across America, showing our support and pride for our veterans and their families. Go to Legion.org to find out more about the American Legion's commitment of service to America.
At least one in four businesses affected by a disaster never reopen. Let me repeat. At least one in four businesses affected by a disaster, whether it's man-made or natural, never reopen. Yet far too many business owners put off their company's disaster.
You have 5 new messages.
Can you sign it for me, please?
Don't forget those copies for the presentation.
Disaster plan because they let too many day-to-day things get in the way.
Is that 3 p.m. going to be all right with your schedule?
Hey, don't forget that Stanton proposes due.
Be in the conference room in 5 minutes, please.
To save your messages, press 1.
Receive dispatch, truck 47 en route to 614 North Front Street.
Received. Be advised, truck 47, heavy fire showing from the ninth floor. Second alarm being dispatched at this time.
Disasters are unpredictable, but when you have a plan in place, you can better adapt, recover, and stay in control. So don't wait. Visit ready.gov to make your company's disaster plan. Ready.gov. It's never too late to protect your business until it is. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
We're back, fourth quarter, and the Giants are just about to drive and win the game. Raquel Wolf is my guest today. Raquel works for the OEM department in Nassau County out there on the island, and she is the manager of sheltering and plans and the community outreach and education special events planning, which, you know, if the outreach and the special events, so most of that stuff's coming across your desk.
Yeah, and as I started to say earlier, you know, now is the time we do a lot of planning because we really like to get our name out there and get the message out there come the nice weather. So one of the things that's on the burner right now is we're planning a public safety fair, and it's really family-oriented. It's going to take place April 28th and 29th at Wantagh Park.
Okay, well, you know what? We need to get that up on the website. Bill, can we do that? Yeah, he's looking at me like I got 10 heads. Yes, we're going to do that.
Great.
Which is, we always like to, the website has so many links and connections and such like that. I'm not a big computer guy, but all I know is that when you go there, you can, drhradio.net, we'll have that intel up there for people to click on and get that information. A couple of questions. One with Connie, it says, with regards to shelters. Oh, you know what? Before, Connie, hold on a second. Well, I have a question. You know, the National Guard is deployed during Katrina and really not so much down in Florida. Do you have to, not have to, but do you coordinate with them in case it gets to a larger area, a larger disaster? Well, I always thought about that.
We do. They were actually staged here in our county. I'm not sure if they were staged elsewhere in addition, but they were here. And then when the storm didn't hit us as badly as we had expected it to, they were redeployed. We released them.
Oh, okay. So there's my answer. Connie, again, Connie, your question is, in regards to shelters, what special measures are in place for elderly and handicapped? Well, they would be special because of just that alone, elderly and handicapped. But what is a scenario that would include that?
Well, of course, all of our shelters are handicap accessible, and we make every effort to have meals at every shelter that are low sodium. It's hard to accommodate every dietary restriction, but that's
right.
A big one for the elderly community.
Uh-huh.
Something that actually was enacted on the fly during Irene, which I learned about after, within one of our shelters, was a buddy system. When there were elderly people who didn't have companions or children with them, they were kind of buddied up with somebody else who could just keep an eye on them, help them if they needed anything, get them the information, or get a volunteer to work with them. And I thought that was such a great idea.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they use it in the military. It's in the Boy Scouts. I know there's the buddy system in the Boy Scouts because I was a Boy Scout. There is another question from Lori. It says, Raquel, you seem to have set up lines of communication within and with other counties. This seems to be the key to a successful operation. Do you have these interactive meetings with other counties on preparedness as well?
Outside the counties that I mentioned?
No, I think within the county. So, I think Lori's...
Within our government.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, right now I'm in the process of getting the word out. We're actually having a meeting that we're inviting all the city, towns, villages, school districts to, and that's surrounding future sheltering operations. So that's just one example of how we do interface with them.
You know, talk about the shelters. One of the things that still astonishes me is that some shelters don't even have backup generators. And those are big ticket purchases, and that's almost grant writing, if you will. Would that be something in your purview? Would it be something like that for you, or no?
You know, we don't own the shelters. Our system is a little different out here than New York City, for example, because we do have individual school districts. Mm-hmm. So it would really be up to them. The one school that we do own that we use for sheltering is our community college, and that one does have a generator.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's a fair amount of colleges out on the island, and Now, are they autonomous of you, or do you like to have the, again, like we talked about the nursing homes? You know, do they have a plan? Do you like to get the intel from the colleges also?
We do. In fact, one of my colleagues is working with a number of the universities out here to develop. We're working with them on a number of programs, but one in particular is coming up with multilingual PSAs. So that'll give the colleges the information right away, and then they're helping us to get the word out to the general public as well.
How about social media with apps?
Yes. There's a new NASA Now app, which is already available for the iPhone, mm-hmm. and it's coming soon for the Android.
Oh, that's you know what it is. It's the way of the future, and you know when you can have the little camera, and you have that QR code. You just excuse me, I'm ringing here, but let's just cut that off. That you just take it and you get all that info. Now, how? I mean, there's the reverse 911 or the 311, and for information, there's the different types of phone numbers. Do you get out on Twitter? Do you get on the social media to for people to sign up? I mean, there's the app, but do you also have the people that can sign up?
Yes. Both OEM and the police departments, a lot of the fire districts, we all utilize social media with Facebook and Twitter. In addition to that, we do, just to go back to the app for a second, that has a really cool component because in addition to signing up for alerts and notifications, you have the opportunity to take a photo of a pothole or a downed tree and send it in for immediate, you know, logging and reporting.
Well, that must get overwhelming after a while, right?
Especially. Well, we don't manage it. So.
hey, nice one. before we sign off, what can we get? What can you tell that you haven't spoken about before? Anything we need to any is there any meat on the bone that we need to hone in on, or maybe the link will suffice? What do you think?
I'm really just happy to be speaking to your audience. Complacency is our biggest issue, and the fact, again, that we're on an island and resources can be limited for us here depending on a situation. I know you preach this already, but, you know, it's too late to stock your shelves when the order has been already given. We saw it with Irene. Shelves went empty. Water was not available. Food was not available. And just writing the plan in advance and then updating the plan, testing the plan.
We just got a couple minutes. The link. What's the link again? So Bill's while he's typing
for our website.
Yes,
it's nassaucountyny.gov.
And yeah, I'm getting a nod for there. That's a good thing. Bill doesn't nod at me very often.
Glad I could help.
It's been fantastic. I mean, this was so seamless. You know, I Craig being busy, and you and I hooked up here, and I think we did very well here today. How about you? What are your thoughts? Do you think?
Thanks, Chris. You know, one other thought, if we have a minute.
Yeah, no, go for it.
You know, as I started to say before one of the breaks, you know, we get a lot of phone calls here, and we disseminate a lot of public information and guidance. But the real sad part is always after an event when you're speaking to people who are underinsured. And
right.
I'm sure you face this and you preach preparedness and having insurance. But that's really the worst part is when mm-hmm. somebody is hit through the disaster and they're in the recovery phase and they don't have the help. They don't have the resource.
Yeah, it's I've been doing this a long time. I've done some pro bono work, and I don't know how to. It's a little difficult for me to say no. I just, I don't know. You know, like I said, maybe I won't become, this mogul of business, but I'm not too bad at it. And that is Service Master Restoration by CPP. I'll plug myself there. But it's very sad, and it still doesn't get the credit it deserves. You know, to look again. It's about preparedness. Like, okay, let's use today for beautiful weather out there, right? Take a look at your home and see where the vulnerable spots are, or even your business. I mean, you got employees. How are these people getting out of this building if there's an incident? And that should be the same thing for your paperwork. You should just take a look at your policy, because you don't want to meet me professionally. You'd rather meet me personally, and if you do meet me professionally, and for me to say, well, you really should have called your insurance guy or whatever it may be, it just doesn't get enough gets enough attention. And then that would be also with not listening to the advocates of preparedness such as yourself. You know, I mean, we got the billboards. I mean, there's such a campaign out there. It's really fabulous. The ready.govs and all those types of we talked about apps and social media, you know, deleting and saying yeah whatever, I'll deal with it tomorrow. Tomorrow happens like that, and before you know it, you're not prepared. It's
exactly,
you know, and that is you know, the OEM you know, has escalated into a major force in our country. Because it needs to. I mean, you know, the notion of, you know, the government always taking care of us, it's just not going to happen. So, you know, it's a challenge for you. But you know what? You seem like me. If you can get to one person, that's just one more person who's prepared. That's cool.
Yeah, and we really appreciate your effort in helping us with this.
No, I got my buddies out there in Ronkonkoma. They're a Service Master franchise. Again, another plug. I don't do that too often on the show. I feel you know, I should do it. But you know what? It's for the listeners. I want them to feel good and get this information from professionals like yourself. And if I can facilitate that, it's dynamite. Thanks for stepping in. And please be a friend of the show. Emails, whatever. If you're saying, listen, Chris, talk about, we have an event coming up. Email me that. I'll get it on the air. We'll get it on the website. And that's how we keep people informed.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much.
Take care of yourself. That was an outstanding program. Hope you people received some good information. Some island people. Sometimes we got a big listenership, so I'm all you know, lots of demographics and so on and so forth. So bear with me if I forget a particular region. I got 40 seconds to go. Like always, listen. Let's bring home our troops. God bless our country, and let's get out of these wars. It's crazy still. All right. Take care of yourselves. See you next week.